In a different life, I was an electrician. I worked construction sites, wiring mostly new homes. There was this particular character that I worked with that was rather difficult to get along with for my personality. We had different values, different outlooks on life, different priorities on life, and that made us clash a bit. We had quite a bit not in common. One day before Judy and I were engaged, he said to me, "Rudy, what do you have to offer a woman? You don't have a house, you don't have an education, you don't have a car. How are you going to be a good husband?" Ooh. I was finishing school at that time. I was working at this place in the summertime, and that just dug into me, just absolutely dug into me. From that point on, I went on to verbally troll him for the rest of my days there. Not a proud moment, but that's what I did. There's a scripture in the Bible that I believe is the absolute hardest for me, and I'd like to share that with you today. Let's go to Luke 6. It's also paralleled in Matthew 5, but Luke 6. We'll start reading here. Luke 6, verse 27, says this: "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies." Loving your enemies. This impossible task is possible. We can overcome our own feelings with the power of God and His example. Love your enemies. Let's be real right up front. This is really hard. This is not an easy commission. To love your enemies. This is the real deal when it comes to Christianity. This is hardcore doctorate level Christianity. It's right up there with enduring grief and suffering when you don't deserve it, that we read about in 1 Peter 2. These are some of the hardest things that we have to try to put on through our lives. Love your enemies. What is your thought process when you read this? We all are familiar with it. We've read this, and as we go through our Bibles, our Bible study, and we're reading our Bible, "Oh, I say to you, love your enemies." Okay. That sounds like a great idea. But in reality, yeah, right. But that's what we're told to do. It doesn't even feel like it's in our nature to do this. If you think about some of your favorite entertainment, what is it? One of my favorite movies for the longest time was The Count of Monte Cristo. It's a revenge story. Edmond Dantes getting back to the man who, you know, stuck it to him. Oh, it feels so good. Hamlet, revenge story. Those of you who are Western fans, what about Rooster Cogburn going out and finding the murder of Matty Ross's father and the horse thief that he was? These are the things that we entertain ourselves with, the people that can get back to the one who deserves it. That's right, our enemies. Well, who are our enemies? Who are they? Who are our enemies in our lives? They're the people who have wronged us, the people who have used us, the people who have hurt us, the people who have done all these things put together. They're the ones who also hurt the ones we love. These kinds of wrongdoings can happen in any area of our lives. It can happen at home. It can happen at school. It can happen at work. Maybe church as well. Again, as you're thinking about the situations that you found yourself in and you're thinking about the antagonist in your story, you think, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Let's go over to Matthew 5. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Sons of God. Actually, the Luke 6 also talks about those who can love their enemies are like sons of God. So let's consider this as the framework as we discuss the rest of this topic. Those who actively seek peace. Sons of God, isn't that what we're all striving for? To be imitators of our Father in heaven? We read about stories of revenge and people who had enemies in the Bible. We think about David and Saul. Saul was trying to kill David in his life. At one point, he says, "That David, I'm going to take the spear and I'm going to pin him against the wall." When you think about your own enemies, does anyone have an enemy at that magnitude? I don't. Most of our enemies tend to be just annoying people. Annoyances that we're trying to deal with, right? People who just get under our skin. People who are just there, just seems like they're just there to bug us. And that's what that coworker was to me. I made it bigger in my own mind. What's hard about having an enemy is that we know this person. They are in our lives, that we are connected. And so we kind of have to deal with it. We're connected. It's not a good relationship, but we can't just get away. We can't just flee in the mountains for every single enemy we find ourselves in. How are we to love our enemies? This kind of love is not a passive action. If you think about your own life, it's not like I say, "Oh yeah, I can love my enemies. It's no problem." Yeah, oh yeah, I can just put it on. No problem. No. It's not like that for us. We have to change. This is a radical statement. I was talking with Chaz at work about this subject yesterday, and he said, "It's funny. We read some of these things, you know, because we're familiar with it, and we read over it like it's not shocking and radical. Loving your enemies is difficult. How can we do the impossible? One, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus Christ. He sacrificed himself while we were still sinners. We need to be more like Jesus. And what that will do is it will release us when we realize that what he did for us, it will release us from harboring those painful emotions that only really hurt ourselves in these situations. Look to Jesus so that we can be a representative of God in our life to those around us, to those who know the situation, I know what this person's going through. I know how they've been treated. But wow, look at that example. Look at the example that they are able to show us. The hard part is it feels better to not to. It feels better to, you know, just hold on to that grievance, to hold it against them, the ones that hurt us and harmed us. But remember, we were still sinners, we need to look to Jesus and his example. A second way that we can start to love our enemies was in the second part of the original verse in Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 27. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Luke 6:27. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Do good. Do good to these people. Treat them well. Another scripture we can go to is Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Okay, that means do nothing at this point. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Doing good to these people, to your enemy, to the one who has hurt you, is a starting point for us. Often we're thinking in our mindset, you know, of just the hurt that I've gone through. But if I put forth the effort and do good and do something good to this person, that good deed will lead on to another hopefully good deed and then another good deed. And hopefully at that point, I will become a person who is showing love to my enemy because I'm starting to feel that love. If we want to love our enemies, start with actions. So we can start by praying for them. We consider where our relationship with God began and what Jesus did for us. He did the same thing. He did an action. When we were enemies, God reconciled us through the death of his son. This is one of those topics that we know, we're familiar with. Yeah, sure, love my enemy. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? But when you are in the heat of the moment, when you are in the heat of those situations, and we know what God expects, it's hard. It's hard to push aside the hurt and the pain and the suffering that we have gone through. And we want vengeance. We want what Edmond Dantès had. We want to be able to come down with all the money in the world and say, look at me now. We want the opportunity. But when we confront the adversary in our story, we can't want to make them feel the way that they've made us feel. That's not what we're supposed to be as Christians. When we read things like this in our Bible, we don't have to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the request. We don't have to. We can know that we have a loving God who is on our side. We can look to Jesus, know that he came down, experienced enemies himself, the hardest of enemies, and yet still at the end of his life, as he was hanging on the stake, said, God, please forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He did it for us. He showed us an example. I look back on my time as an electrician, and I know I could have handled myself much, much better. This kind of mindset, the kind of mindset of loving your enemy, can be a lifelong process. But we can't lose heart. We can't lose heart at the high bar God has given us to shoot for as our goal. God has given us an example, and we continue down that path. Even in the most difficult expectations that we as Christians have, it can become attainable. It can become attainable. So remember, the next time you come across the paths of the antagonist in your life, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.